It's comforting to be able to believe what people tell us. What happens when we find out that what they've been telling us may be contrary to what the Scriptures teach? Today, on After the Sunrise, Pastor Darrell brings to light several scriptures concerning the resurrection of the dead and the coming kingdom of God. Today's message is entitled, Thy Kingdom Come.
Good morning and welcome to After the Sunrise. My name is Pastor Darrell Cardwell from the North Salem Church of God. I have a question that I'd like to present to you this morning. If judgment and reward are instantaneous at death, either floating off to heaven or burning in the lake of fire, what is the purpose of the resurrection? Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul, and the Apostle John all speak of God's kingdom as a future event. If I've already obtained my blissful reward, why do I need to be resurrected from the dead? This morning, I would like to share with you a few scriptures concerning Jesus' second coming and about the resurrection of the dead. More importantly, I'd like to share with you about the future kingdom of God. A couple weeks ago, I shared with you the elements of the gospel message. The name of Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God were those two elements. These are the two things that Philip was preaching when the people responded in baptism. What about this kingdom of God? When will it happen? And where will it be? First of all, we have to realize that the kingdom, according to the scriptures, is not instantaneous at death. Jesus said in his model prayer, what we call the Lord's Prayer, Thy kingdom come. The kingdom of God is in the future. Not at death, only after the dead in Christ have been raised from the dead. The Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians, he said, For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive, but each in his own turn. Christ, the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. Then the end will come, when he hands over the kingdom of God to the Father, after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. See, it's not till Jesus returns that the kingdom will be established, and after the resurrection. And then he destroys the last enemy, and I'll get to that in a second. It says, For he must reign until he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. For he has put everything under his feet. Now, when it says that, everything that has been put under him, it is clear that it does not include God himself, who put everything under Christ. When he has done this, then the Son himself will be subject to him, meaning the Father, God, Jehovah, who has put everything under him, so that God may be all in all. You see, once the dead are raised, then the kingdom will be established, and then after death has been destroyed, Jesus will hand the kingdom over to God, our Creator, the Sustainer, the one who gave us the breath of life. And then Jesus will be subject to God in that kingdom also. Jesus said in John chapter 5, He says, I tell you the truth, the time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he granted the Son to have life in himself. And he has given him the authority to judge because he is the Son of Man. Do not be amazed at this, Jesus said, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good will raise to live. And those who have done evil will be raised to be condemned. You see, it's not until Jesus comes back that the graves will be opened up and then judgment happens. Those who have done good or have done the will of God, who have been baptized and are living for Him, those people will be raised to live, and those who have done evil will be raised to judgment, to the lake of fire, or to be condemned. Jesus said in Mark chapter 13, he talks about when he's going to come back to establish the kingdom. Well, he says, no one knows the day nor the hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, meaning himself, but only the Father. Be on guard, be alert, you do not know when the time will come. It's like a man who's going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge. Each is assigned his own task and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether it's in the evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, don't let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. We don't know when Jesus is coming back. We know I believe it's going to be in my lifetime. I'm 45 years old. I think that I'll still see him about 40 years. But the thing is, we have to be prepared and we have to be watching for his coming. And the reason is because we need to be prepared for that coming kingdom. Not that it happens when I die, but when Jesus comes back to establish the kingdom. Every indication in the scriptures puts the resurrection and the kingdom of God in the future. These events do not happen until the future. I would like to think that my father, who passed away about 4 years ago, is sitting up in heaven, watching over me, protecting me, but there's one thing that I know. One thing I know for a fact. The Bible does not teach that. God's holy word does not teach me that my father is sitting in heaven right now with his reward. It does not teach that. I would love to be comforted by that. And so many times we hear preachers in funerals who talk about, oh, your grandma and grandpa, they loved you and they're watching over us now. I'm sorry, but that is not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches us that when we die, we're placed in the grave. I'd like to go back to Genesis chapter 2, when God created mankind. Just one verse, Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. It says, the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 7, this I read from Genesis 2, 7, in Ecclesiastes 12, 7, it talks about what happens when we die. It says, and the dust returns to the ground from which, I'll start over, and the dust returns to the ground from which it came, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. In Genesis 2:7, where it says the breath of life, and in Ecclesiastes 12:7, where it says the spirit returns, the word breath and the word spirit, these two words are the same word in the Greek original text, original translation. The word is pneumos, or pneuma. It means to breathe. It's the exchange of air. I want you to do me a favor. Would you please? Just bear with me. Do me a favor here. Take a deep breath. Hold it. Hold it. Now let it out. Did the breath that came out of your mouth, did it know anything? Let me ask that again. When you let the breath out of your mouth after holding your breath, did that breath that came out know anything? Did it have any type of reasoning power? Of course not. When we die, all of our thoughts and our reasoning power dies with us. In the book of Psalms, it says, praise ye the Lord, praise ye the Lord, O my soul. When I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I still have being. What did God create? And man became a living being. It says, put your trust not in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no hope. And the Son of Man is talking about mankind. It says, his breath goes forth, he returns to the earth, and in that day, the day of his death, his thoughts perish. The dead know nothing. Dead people are dead. They're placed in the ground, their body turns back to the dust, which God created it from, and the breath of life, which we just let out of our mouths when we let the air out after holding our breath, it returns back to God and it knows nothing. Our breath isn't floating around in heaven with some fluffy cloud, playing a harp and watching over their loved ones. It just doesn't happen. The scripture is very plain. Where will God's kingdom be located? Jesus said in his Sermon on the Mount, we call the section in Matthew chapter 5, we call it the Beatitudes. Jesus said that the meek shall inherit what? Heaven? No. Jesus said the meek shall inherit the earth. But I'd like to share with you a couple more scriptures that I like better in the book of Revelation. John wrote, and they sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals because you were slain. And your blood, you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people in every nation. You had made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God. And they will reign upon the earth. God's kingdom will be established on the earth. Jesus will come back, his feet will land on the Mount of Olives, the kingdom of God will be established. In Isaiah chapter 51 it says, the ransomed of the Lord will return. They will enter Zion with singing, and everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. Another name for Zion is Jerusalem. The capital city of God's kingdom, the kingdom of God, will be the new Jerusalem. If you have your Bible, and I've shared this scripture with you before, it's from Revelation chapter 21. It talks about this new Jerusalem. John wrote in Revelation chapter 21, he says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will be with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. He who overcomes will inherit all this. I will be his God, and he will be my son. I saw the new Jerusalem, the holy city, coming out of heaven, coming to this earth. Now the dwelling of God is with men. Like I said, it would be so comforting to know that my dad or my grandparents are in their happy little place in heaven. But the Bible teaches that no one has ever ascended into heaven. Only the Son of Man, only Jesus Christ. My dad and my grandparents are all waiting in their graves for Jesus to call them forth at the resurrection. At that time, when he does call them forth, judgment will occur. And I know because my dad and my grandparents were all Christians and they believed in the scriptures and the things they were taught. They were all immersed in the waters of baptism. I know that their reward will be God's kingdom. But it will not happen until Jesus Christ comes back and raises them from the dead. Paul wrote in Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians, he says, brothers, I don't want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep. In other words, those who are dead. And to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him, according to the Lord's own word. We tell you that we who are still alive and remain, who are left to the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And after that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. When Jesus comes back, the trumpet call, the trumpet will blast, the graves will open up, the dead in Christ will rise first, and then those of us who are alive and remain will be caught up in the clouds to be with our loved ones to meet Jesus there. Jesus said, these are Jesus' own words. He said, "Behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done." Why would Jesus have to bring a reward with him if at death judgment and reward are instantaneous? God does not teach us in his word about an instantaneous judgment or an instantaneous reward. He says we have to wait until Jesus comes back. We are looking forward to the day that Jesus will come back. We're looking forward to the day that Jesus brings our reward. I hope this morning that you've written down some of the scriptures that I've shared with you. I hope that you'll search them out for yourself. If you'd like a copy of today's program to get those scriptures, we can send you one. There's no cost for that. Just let us know. And Tara will give you the information how to contact us, either through email or through mail, the postal service, or you can go to our website and she'll give you all that information. God didn't hide anything from us, and he's made the scriptures very clear about the resurrection. He's made the scriptures very clear about the reward, and he's made it very clear about the future kingdom of God. I pray that God will bless you this week, and I look forward to sharing with you again at this time after the sunrise.
Thank you for tuning in this morning. After the Sunrise is the radio ministry of the North Salem Church of God. If you would like to contact us, send us a letter to After the Sunrise, 13263 4th Road, Plymouth, Indiana, 46563. Or email us at afterthesunrise@mchsi.com. Why not visit the North Salem website? The address is www.northsalem.homestead.com. On the website, you'll find a radio archive with the After the Sunrise radio programs. We would like you to come and worship with us. Our Sunday school begins at 9:30 a.m. Worship begins at 10:30 a.m. We look forward to meeting you and your family. On Wednesday evening, we have a midweek Bible study. Everyone is welcome to attend. Bible study begins at 7 p.m. If you get a chance, make sure to read the Pastor's Corner each week in the Plymouth Pilot News. We hope you've enjoyed today's program, and we look forward to sharing with you again next week at this time, after the sunrise.